Townspeople will tell you Grand Rapids is a wonderful place to raise kids. A solid job base dominated by Blandin Corporation's massive paper mill, clean living, and small town values. This was Karen Struffert's home, a popular and pretty 18-year-old who was grabbed off the darkened streets late on a warm summer night in 1991. For days, townspeople searched for the missing girl. Within a week, two young men from the area were under arrest. They were tried and convicted of murder. Police Chief Bill Litschke remembers, first there was shock and then fear.
Friends were supposed to meet a female friend at the mall, and she was 10 minutes late. We got the call. People started locking their doors that hadn't locked their doors previous, and there was just a change in attitude. People weren't as safe or didn't feel as safe.
As a cop, Litschke's aware of the darker side of small-town life, the crime that goes on quietly behind closed doors. It occasionally spills out onto the streets, usually in the form of burglary and assault. But he worries that today's youngsters aren't getting the message there's danger in small towns. Sprawled on hard plastic chairs in a small video production room at the local high school, four students agreed to talk about crime and violence and safety. And most, like junior Katie Halverson, feel pretty safe in Grand Rapids.
I take my dog on a walk every night, but down in Minneapolis or anything, I wouldn't walk alone at night.
Senior Jake Lundquist remembers peace fairs and marches when the community responded to Struppert's death. His grade school launched new curriculum to teach students to handle conflict. But Jake is skeptical about the permanence of the message the community's given its kids.
All the older people, like the adults, the teachers, like, okay, if we get them to learn now, it'll help them in the future. But really, we just bounce off that, and we're just like, oh, well, now I'm here, I guess we don't have to re-listen to them, and we can just go off to our own thing.
After Karen Struffert's murder, there was another killing by local young people claiming to belong to a gang. Despite the signals to the contrary, Katie Halverson says the risk of crime in Grand Rapids is low. She says it's life as usual.
Yeah, my parents even wouldn't even let me go out on Halloween after the William Booth murder. But now it's fading away again. Grand Rapids is a safe little town.
That doesn't make Grand Rapids unusual. A Minnesota Public Radio poll on crime attitudes finds a vast majority of rural Minnesotans feel safe in their homes and neighborhoods, but most now lock their homes and cars. Small towns were supposed to be immune from big city crime, separated by distance and culture. But Karen Struffert's death wasn't urban crime bleeding into rural Minnesota. It was a random attack by two young men who people knew. Residents realized Grand Rapids was no island from crime and violence, and they wanted to know why. Neighbor Barb Sanderson remembers the meetings that began not long after Karen's death. Just a loose collection of residents, they called themselves the Community Peace and Safety Group. Their first goal was an examination of the problems and services available in the area. A two-year study of rural violence challenged the myth of small-town values. Alcohol and drug abuse were rampant. Acts of violence, like domestic abuse, were rarely reported or prosecuted.
What we found out was that our community had a great deal of the factors that made us very much at risk for violent behavior. Lack of opportunities for earned income, high substance abuse, unsafe living conditions for a great many people, lack of social support systems, and lack of community connectedness.
Itasca County ranked highest in the state in one measure of physical violence in the home, third in the rate of births to teenage mothers, and fourth in a ranking of alcohol problems in the family. They found in Grand Rapids a pattern of troubling behaviors, like domestic violence and child abuse, and they uncovered structural problems. Police, prosecutors, social workers, and schools hadn't been talking enough to each other. With the study in hand, Peace and Safety Group members approached regional resource centers, schools, churches, courts, and social services to set the community on a change of course. Karen's father, Don Struffert, became the acknowledged leader of the peace and safety movement. He provided helpful information for this report, but declined an interview request. Enthusiasm has its limits. Over the years, the pain and shock of Karen's death subsided. Eventually, the Struffert family left Grand Rapids for Duluth, where, according to Barb Sanderson, they wouldn't have to be known as the parents who lost a child to crime. With the movement's mentor gone, Police Chief Litschke says the public passion has sagged a bit as well.
Community Peace Initiative, up until the Struferts left here, was really active. Out of that, we had some community meetings. We had a peace walk every year, just calling attention to this kind of stuff. Now, the last year and a half or so, that's kind of dropped by the wayside, but I can see it's gonna come back around.
The most promising work does continue on a daily basis in small communities across the state. The Citizens Council on Crime and Justice has taken Grand Rapids' community approach statewide, with funding from the Grand Rapids-based Blandon Foundation, also a supporter of Minnesota Public Radio. The council hopes to stem the factors that might fuel criminal behavior in 25 Minnesota communities over a five-year period. To keep an ambitious effort like this alive takes more than dedicated individuals, according to Jim Creel, who directs the Blandon Foundation's Community Leadership Program. Creel says it takes institutions like schools, government, or a foundation like Blandon with a structure and a budget.
The folks that go through the experience invest a lot of their blood and guts, especially in those early years, and then, you know, stuff starts to atrophy, people do other things, not everyone can live with that same level of intensity, and sometimes people just get tired of feeling like victims.
He says peace isn't in retreat in Grand Rapids, it's just less visible.
But I think there was a deeper and more profound community response that in some ways has sustained itself over time.
There is a small memorial plaque to remember Karen Struferd and a community fund in Grand Rapids that supports anti-violence work in her name. But her legacy is most alive in communities across the state, as people work to make sure that young girls can walk on warm summer nights without fear. I'm Bob Kelleher, Minnesota Public Radio.